Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to those who are watching with us today. I have an important message today, although they're all important. The message is called, "The Heart is Deceitful." The heart is deceitful. And I want to start in Jeremiah 17:9. That's where the message is really coming from. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. Who can know it?" Some translations put desperately wicked. We have from the original, it is incurable. So we see the heart is deceitful. And of course, when we're talking about the heart is simply a muscle in your body. The heart doesn't do anything. It doesn't think. It's basically, when we say heart, it's an analogy that we use in Scripture of our mind, our deepest desires, what's most important to us. So when someone says, "Tell me what's on your heart," you know, that's what we're talking about. Of course, in the world also, from paganism, we know that Valentine's Day and Cupid's and hearts has all been equated, you know, to, like I said, paganism and different things like that I'm not going to get into today at all. That's not part of the message. But I just want to start by saying that, you know, like I said, when we talk about the heart, we're using it as an analogy of our mind. It's really our mind, our thoughts, our deepest desires. What is the most important thing to us? So when we look at Scripture, you know, because it's ironic that the first thing a lot of times, and I mean, I've had hundreds of people tell me this, when you're witnessing to somebody else, right, or you first find out about the truth and you're witnessing to your family or your friends, and you tell somebody about Christmas or Easter or anything that's pagan or whatever, right? And a lot of times, what will people say? Well, you know, I know it's this way, but I'm doing it from my heart, you know? And a lot of times when they say that, you know, "Well, my heart is telling me this, so I'm doing it from my heart," they're not looking at Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things. So that's really what I want to get into today, because most of the time, and 100% of the time, basically, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, your heart is deceiving you. And what you think is coming from your heart that's good is actually pride or lust in something that we want. You know, in a time where so many things in the world are twisted, right, and lied about, you know, fake news everywhere you look, we must learn to search our hearts as Yahweh does. Because there has never been, and the Bible says this, there's never been a more deceptive time than we're living in now. And, you know, I came in the truth now more than 36 years ago. And I thought, you know, as we read those scriptures 36 years ago, right, you know, and about the deception, the end time in Matthew 24, and that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. And it was like, you see, we're keeping the Sabbath day and we're not keeping Sunday and we're keeping the holy days and we're not keeping Christmas and Easter. And those are things that you have to start with, because if you're keeping Sunday and Christmas and Easter, you're certainly, you know, not walking in the truth whatsoever. But today, 36 years later, and particularly in the last, I'd say, 1-2 years, wow, when we see what deception really means, we can really see why in Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. Because really, there is deception now that is above what anyone could have ever thought of in their life. You know, and as we're moving into this new time now of forced vaccinations and, you know, possibly, you know, not being able to travel or work or whatever, we really have to look at this, because many people will make decisions based on their heart, so to speak, and thinking they're doing the right thing when they're really not. So let's start in from the religious sense, maybe, so to speak, in Mark 7 and verse 6, because I really, really, in the beginning part of the message, I really want to show you how, from a human standpoint, our heart, and our heart is also our human nature, our thought pattern, is not from Yahweh. It's that clear. And we're going to see it over and over in the Bible. And then the big thing that we want to see is, what can we do about it? How can we change? Mark 7 and verse 6, "And answering, he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites," Mark 7 and verse 6, "as it has been written, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And like I said, how many times did you go to people and say about, you can show them the evidence about Christmas, about Easter, about all these pagan things, Valentine's Day, right, birthdays, and what will they say? Well, I know this, but, you know, I have my own relationship with Elohim. They call him G-O-D or whatever. They don't even want to use his right name. But they'll say that he knows my heart. He knows my heart. And that's the problem. Yes, he knows your heart. And the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable or desperately wicked. Right? So their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. And this is one of the things we have to look at, you know, that... When we're looking at religion, you know, every religion in the world today, it doesn't matter whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they're all based on basically paganism of men, of commandments and doctrines of men, like it's saying here. In vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. For forsaking the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men. And then he goes into the traditions they're doing, which many Jews still do today, right? Washing cups and such things. And he said to him, well, do you set aside the commandment of Yahweh so that you may establish your own tradition? Your own tradition. Christmas is a tradition. Easter is a tradition. And what does it say in Deuteronomy 12? When you go into the land, don't ask how they worship their G-O-Ds, their gods, their Elohim. You shall not worship Yahweh this way, but we are called to worship Yahweh in spirit in truth. So this is really important, you know, like I said, starting from an esoteric maybe foundation of false religious practices. And believe it or not, there's people who claim to be believers or messianics or whatever that are still keeping Christmas and Easter and many of the pagan things that are out there. And that's what they say. They say, well, no, I'm doing it in truth because Yahweh knows my heart. And yet it's not true. Christmas is a pagan holiday. You know, it comes from paganism. There's nothing true that's about it. It's something that is filled with all kinds of evil things and orgies to where it comes from, the Saturnalia. And it's not something that could have anything to do with Yahweh, as well as, like I said, many of the other things. So today, the message isn't so much about paganism in these things, but this is a start of it because people will say their heart is right. Yahweh knows my heart. And no, your heart is deceitful. And I'll tell you one thing, what I've seen, for the most part, when it comes to say something as basic as Christmas, the main reason people don't want to give up Christmas, because there are thousands of people through the years that have written me, read my book, and they know it's wrong. And the main reason they don't give it up is peer pressure. They don't want to have the problem with their family and their children and their husband and wife and their in-laws and their peers at work. Because you give up Christmas, man, you're giving up a lot, right? Because everywhere you look, people are doing it, and people just don't want to sacrifice that much. And then they're saying that Yahweh knows their heart, but the heart is deceitful and incurable, right? So, many in the Laodicean era love self. They make an image of Elohim in their heart and mind of their own desires. So, it's basically that simple. And the problem is, when you're not seeking Yahweh in spirit and truth, how far it can go. Because it really, there's no end to how far the evilness of the mind will go, as we're going to see here. So let's go to Isaiah 44. Let's start there. Isaiah 44, because this to me, it's fun. It's funny in one way when you read it. But it's sad in another way that this is actually the way that billions of people in the world react today. So in Isaiah 44, I'm going to start in verse 9, right? And Yahweh's talking about the paganism that man does. He says, those who form a carved image are all of them vanity, right? Because a carved image is not an Elohim. It's nothing but a piece of wood. And their delights do not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They do not see nor know that they may be ashamed, right? So he's talking to these people that are making these images. And we know in ancient times, that's what they did. They made these gods of stone and wood. And I always say it's interesting today when you look at all three major religions, right? They're bowing and they're worshiping either the stone or wood. Christianity has the cross, a piece of wood. And Mecca, the Islam has the big stone in Mecca, the black stone. And even Jews, they go to the Wailing Wall, that is actually Fort Antonia, a Roman fort, and they bow constantly to a Roman piece of stone that's over there. Then we drop down to verse 14 here. And he says, he cuts down cedars and takes cypress and oak, and he makes the trees of the forest strong for him. He plants a tree, and rain makes it grow. So this is what man is doing, right? He's over here, he's planting this tree, and he's nurturing the tree, and he's making the tree grow. And what happens once it grows up? Go to verse 16. Then he takes the tree, chops it down, right? Just like they chop Christmas trees down. They use it for a couple of weeks, and then they throw it away. But here, the man takes the tree, chops it down. He burns half of it in the fire, and he eats flesh on half of it, right? So he's chopping the wood, and he's using half of this tree now for a fire so that he could cook food on it. And he warms himself with it, and he says, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And with the rest of it, the other half, he makes a god of the rest, his carved images. And he bows to it and worship and prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my El. And they do not know nor discern, for he has smeared their eyes from seeing, their hearts from understanding. And like I said, can anybody see this? How ridiculous this is? You take this tree, you're cutting it down, the same tree, part of the tree, you're making a fire and warming it, and you're cooking food, and the other part you're carving into an idol and bowing down to it. It's so utterly ridiculous. But it's the same thing that people do today. He says, and not one turns back to his heart, nor has knowledge nor discernment to say, I've burned half of it in the fire, and I've baked bread on its coals. I've roasted flesh and have eaten it, and I've made the rest of it into an idol. Shall I bow to the product of a tree? Feeding on ashes, a deceived heart turns him aside, and he does not deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? So a deceived heart turns him away. And this is what I'm saying. This is no different than the lie of Christmas and the lie of Easter and the lie of Valentine's Day and all the other pagan things that people do throughout the year. It's no different because the people know it. You think this guy doesn't know that this thing he's carving isn't a god? Of course he knows it. But he's still bowing down to it because he's thinking he's doing the right thing in his heart. His heart is deceiving him. The same way today, people's hearts are deceiving them. They're deceiving them thinking that these things they can do, proper worship to Yahweh. When he says they are not proper worship to me, he tells us how to worship him. And then even people that know the truth will do similar things, right? They'll steal their tithe. And they'll use their tithe and they'll say, but Yahweh, you understand, I'm only borrowing it. I'm borrowing it to pay my rent. I'll pay it back. And they don't. And there's many people out there today and brethren that are not tithing and they're stealing from Yahweh. And it's the same thing. So it doesn't matter what your heart is deceiving you by, because as we're going to see today, it's not just in pagan worship that the heart of man deceives him with everything. He deceives him with absolutely everything that he's doing. So Ishtar Sunday, right? Ishtar Sunday from the goddess Ishtar with eggs, fertility eggs and all these things. And people see it and they still do it. And even though when you tell them what it's from and where it comes from, they say, yeah, but it's only a tradition, just as they say here. So people living with living in sin without repentance, and they say their heart is right when it's deceived. It's selfish, it's self-seeking, and people are hoodwinked that lust and pride from the heart is really love. So that's what I'm saying. When you look at the heart, it's just a muscle, it just pumps, right? It pumps the blood. But people will look at that, that's where love comes from, it comes from the heart. And they're actually hoodwinked into thinking that their lust and their pride is love from their heart, when really it's the opposite. So, but it is interesting in the world that we live in, and this is from time immemorial, not just the world we live in today, but how, because I'm going to start with lust, then I'll get into pride after this, how the heart is deceived by lust, and then how the heart is deceived by pride. But when we look at lust, right, it's interesting how closely related in the human mind that lust and love are. When they're total opposite, it's like, black and white, you know, it's like, you can't get, true and false. You can't get more opposite than lust and love. And yet in the human mind, the reality of it, what the human mind thinks, they're so closely related, but the reality is they're totally opposite. People commit fornication, they commit adultery, and they say it's love, right? But it's lust. It brings the death penalty. And if you really love the person, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it because you know that it brings death. So let's go to Mark 10 and see this. Because one simple thing, divorce and remarriage, right? I'm going to show you a scripture here. This is not on divorce and remarriage, but that's part of the heart being deceitful to people because you see how selfish people are. Because, wow, it's easy to be against divorce and remarriage when you're married, right? But if you're divorced or you're single, then all of a sudden everything's going to change in your mind. And I mean, I've seen people that were the most staunchest, strictest people on divorce and remarriage. That's not even true. That they were taking things from scripture and twisting them. That never, ever, ever is there ever a reason to separate from a spouse, even if they're abusing you or doing drugs or whatever. And then I've seen the same people divorce and then say all of a sudden, no, now they can marry somebody else. So let's just look what the scripture says, because it's pretty simpler. Mark 10 and verse 5. Mark 10 and verse 5. In answering, Yeshua said to them, with respect to your hard-heartedness, right? It's saying, why did Moses allow divorce? Because of their hard-heartedness, because their heart is deceitful, their hard-heartedness. He wrote this command to you. But now he's telling you what Yahweh says. But from the beginning of creation, right, Genesis 1, Yahweh made them male and female. Because of this, a man shall leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what Yahweh has yoked together, man cannot pull apart. What is so hard about that? And again, in the house, they asked him the same. And he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So it's very clear. Now, you'll have 100 reasons why people will say why it's okay in their case. But all I'm trying to do today, I'm not here. It's, again, it's not a message on divorce and remarriage. It's a message on how the heart is deceitful. And this is my point. In your life, where is your heart deceiving you? Because everybody, it's different, right? We can go into basic things of false paganism and religion, and we can get into things like divorce and remarriage. You know, at least in Western society, about half the people are divorced and remarried. And no matter what the Bible says, you know, and these are Christian people that will do it. Actually, the divorce rate and remarry rate in Christianity is higher than in the world, but they'll justify it. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. And they'll make, I've heard every kind of thing from Yahweh wouldn't want me to be alone, to da-da-da-da-da, to all these things that are there, right? But the heart deceived the people that adultery is okay. Yeshua calls it adultery, and I don't, it doesn't matter the reasons behind it. You leave your spouse, you marry another, it's adultery. And, you know, like I said, they have all the reasons. So when we're looking at lust, right? And that's what it is, because there's a lust there. A lust basically is a strong desire for something that is not rightfully been given to them. So there's all kinds of things. There's women that lust to be pastors and elders when Yahweh just didn't give that to them. There's people that lust because they don't want to be alone. So they want to marry, divorce and remarry somebody. And there's lust for fornication and all kinds of things. And like I said, a lot of times people may listen to this and think they agree with everything you say, but they think, oh, but it's not me. But don't be so sure, because as we're going to see here, it's all human beings. The human mind, human nature is corrupted. And in the world we're living in today, if Satan has deceived the whole world, then every one of us is probably deceived on something. And we have to look into our hearts. We have to look into our souls. We have to look into our lives. And we have to see, where am I being deceived? Where is my heart deceiving me, right? And that's what we have to look for. Let's go to 2 Samuel, because I'll give you, I mean, this is such a sad example, but a great example of what we're talking about when we're talking about lust and love. And it's actually a shocking story, but it really equates in the sermon on what we're talking about today. And it's the story with Tamar and Aman, the brother and the sister. Amnon, rather. So let's start here in verse 1 and 2. And afterwards it happened that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister, and her name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was distressed, even to becoming sick, because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it was hard in the eyes of Amnon to do anything to her. So, you know, you see this, you talk about love at first sight, and the person's sick in love and all this stuff. But this isn't love, as we're going to see. You couldn't get further from love, from this person, from just the story. It's lust. And the shocking part is, why it even says he loved her, as we're going to see here, because it certainly wasn't love. And that's my point, that in the world today and in people's minds, lust and love are so closely related in the actions, and yet in reality, they're total opposite. They're absolutely, because like I said, lust is a strong desire for something that's not rightfully giving to them. And love is total outward concern for the other person. It's the total opposite of it. So let's see how the story goes in, what happens, right? Now he makes this plan. It's premeditated. So it's not just that they happen to be alone together and something bad happened. But no, he premeditates. He makes believe that he's sick. He calls for her to come and make him some food and all this stuff. So then let's go to verse 8 and we'll see what happens. So Tamar makes the food and she comes in. And she went to her brother Amnon's house and he was lying down. And she took the dough and kneaded it and made cakes before his eyes and baked the cakes. And she took the baking pan and poured out before him. But he refused to eat. And Amnon said, cause every man to go out from me. And every one of them went out from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food into the inner room and I shall eat from your hand. And Tamar took the cakes that she had made and brought them into her brother Amnon into the inner room. And she brought near to him to eat. And he lay hold on her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. And she said to him, no, my brother, do not humble me, for it is not done so in Israel. Do not do this foolishness. And I, where would I cause my disgrace to go? And you should be as one of the fools in Israel. But now please speak to the king, for he shall not withhold me from you. So, bad enough, they're brother and sister. They are from different mothers. So in this day, they could marry, you know, they would. And that's what she's saying. Don't do this evil thing. Don't do this horrible sin. Talk to King David. And if this is really what you want, I'll go along with it. I'll marry you. So if he even had an ounce of love, a little bit of love, he would have said, you're right. Let's do it. Let's go to the king. But no, he didn't do it. Look what he does. And he was not willing to listen to her voice. And he was stronger than her, and he humbled her, and he lay with her. He raped her. Can you imagine? He loves her? No, come on. He raped her. And then it even gets worse. Because Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred in which he hated her was greater than the love, and I'm going to put lust, because it wasn't love, the lust with which he had lusted after her. And Amnon said to her, get up and go. And she said to him, no, for this evil is greater than the other that you have done to me to send me away. But he was not willing to listen to her. And he called his young man who attended and said, now put this one out for me and bolt the door after. Wow. Come on. You can't, like I said, you can't get a more fitting example of comparing love and lust. And there is nothing that was loving out of what he did. Zero. I mean, not even 1%. Premeditated rape to his own sister. Didn't care what he did, even when he had the opportunity to maybe change to a degree, he didn't. And then after it, then he's so guilty because of the evil that he did. And his heart was so deceived that what did he do? Then he just throws her out. And we know what happens after that. Does David do anything? No. You know, and then Absalom winds up coming and killing him for doing this later. But like I said, love is the strongest emotion. It is totally outgoing. It's totally unselfish. It's totally from the other person. Lust is selfish, uncontrolled, and greedy. So we see exactly what happens here. And that's why we have to look in our hearts to see, is our heart really right? Are the things we think in, are they really right? Or are they selfish and uncontrolled and just greedy? Are we only thinking of ourselves when we see a situation, right? Are we thinking of just what's better for us? Are we looking at situations and thinking, like I said, you know, he didn't say hello to me first. He didn't say this. Or all these things. What is in our heart? Because the heart is deceitful. above all things, and desperately wicked and evil. It's actually evil from a human nature standpoint. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Because now here's the total opposite of it, right? You've seen about the worst example I think you could see in the Bible of lust and evilness. And then when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? Love has patience. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love does not make a vain display of itself. Love does not boast. Love, it does not behave indecently, does not pursue its own things, right? Totally outgoing and unconditional. Is not easily provoked. It thinks no evil, right? So when it's, why didn't he talk to me? Why didn't, you know, this person say this? Oh, his email was really short. It doesn't think that way. It thinks no evil, right? Because it's only thinking of purity. It's only thinking what's best for the other person, not themselves. It's not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love quietly covers all things, right? Do we quietly cover all things? Or are we trying to bring it out? Are we trying to expose it? Are we trying to tell other people how bad somebody else is? Well, let me tell you about so-and-so. You know, don't say anything to anybody, but so-and-so did this, blah, 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 blah. Love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Endures all things. In marriage, right? Sometimes somebody will say, well, you know, you counsel two people in marriage. Well, I just don't love the person anymore. Love is a choice. It's a choice. It was a choice when you chose to love that person and marry that person. And it's a choice whether you continue to love that person. Because it doesn't depend on the other person. It depends on yourself. Depends on yourself. That's Yahweh's love. It's an unconditional love, right? So love endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. And this is the love of Yahweh. This is the love we'll get into in the second part of the message. This is the love that we have to be getting in our life, right? But if you're letting your heart deceive you that you have this love and all the things you're doing is love when it's nothing more than pride or lust, then it's a bigger problem, right? The two things could not be opposite, but in a corrupt human heart, many times lust is confused for love. It's that simple. And they couldn't be more opposite. Yahweh's love is a choice. It's unconditional. It's greater outward concern for another person than yourself. So let's get into the second part now. We went into how the heart can be deceived through lust. How about pride? Because pride, I think, is even worse and happens more often. Because lust is not only in things like we saw in the story. Lust is also in wanting things that you don't have. It's also in desiring. Right? Like we said, lust is a strong desire for something that's not rightfully giving to you. And a lot of times people, they want whatever, material things, better jobs, you know, more money, a bigger car, whatever. They want a whole bunch of things that just haven't been given. But pride is the second thing. Pride is putting your self-worth and desires above others. Humility is the opposite. Humility is realizing how low you are compared to other people. So you never, when you're a humble person, you don't put your wants and desires above other people. You're always putting below it because you know you don't deserve it. But pride is putting your self-worth and desires above others. Prideful people need to feel good about self, will do anything to get their own way. They're totally deceived by their heart. They have false core values. Talked about this in our conference before Sukkot about core values, the importance of core values in your life. They have false core values. They follow pride. They're deceived, thinking that it's their heart. So they're deceived, and they're thinking that their heart is good. And that's where the deception comes in, because the heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. So let's go to Isaiah 59. And I want to go through now a little bit showing you how, from Scripture, not myself, Scripture clearly showing how wicked the heart is. So when people are thinking their heart is good, don't think that, because the Bible clearly says the heart is wicked. Isaiah 59 and verse 12. It says, "For our rebellions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities." transgressing and lying against Yahweh and turning back from our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, right? Speaking revolt, what you want, speaking as the leadership, you wouldn't have it this way, conceiving and murmuring words of falsehood from the heart. Where is it coming from? And this is what I say. It's, you know, I mean, you do get situations where people are just bad people. They're liars. They're deceivers. They'll lie to your face and they'll twist things. But most of the time, it's not like that. Most of the time, people are lying to themselves because they think their heart is right. And that's what it says here, right? It says murmuring falsehoods from the heart. So that's the hard part, where they're thinking they're doing the right thing. And in reality, they're not. It's their pride. It's their pride that won't let them see the truth. So from the heart are evil thoughts, right? People thinking something's coming from the heart, that it's pure and it's honest, yet the heart is deceitful and selfish. How about the New Testament? Let's look at what Yeshua says about the heart of man. Matthew 15, and I'm going to start in verse 16. Matthew 15, and verse 16. But Yeshua said, until now, even you do not understand. Do you not yet perceive that everything entering into the mouth goes into the belly and is thrown out into the waste bowl? This is, again, where they're asking him, right, about why the apostles, you know, don't do the things like the rabbis do. And he's saying, in vain they worship him, teaching commandments of men, just like we were seeing. And now he's telling them, you know, that if you're eating with unwashed hands, it's not defiling you from your heart. So do you not perceive that everything entering into the mouth goes into the belly and is thrown out into the waste bowl? Basically, it goes through your system and it gets flushed out in the toilet. But whatever that proceeds from the mouth, right? Whatever you're speaking, what comes out of your mouth, proceeds from the heart and becomes a defilement to man. So again, it may not be healthy to eat with unwashed hands. You know, you might get parasites and different things. I'm not suggesting that. You know, we should wash our hands before eating. It's just hygiene. But it's not hurting your heart. It's not impurity from the heart. But what comes out of your mouth is coming from your heart, and that defiles a man. Now, look what he says. From the heart go out evil thoughts, murder, right? When we speak wrong against a brother or sister, it's murder. Fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. And how many times are we false witnessing to somebody and we're thinking we're not? We're thinking we're not false witnessing because we're being deceived from our heart. These things are the things defiling the man, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Okay? So it's that simple when we look at it, right? That from the heart are evil thoughts, murder, blasphemy, false witness, fornication. All these things come from the heart. And like I said, you talk to the average person in the world and you say, you know, wow, I know you're doing this from your heart. They think you're saying a good thing. They don't know this is the things from their heart. Genesis 6 and verse 5, right? Go back to the beginning. Look at what Yahweh says. And Yahweh saw that the evil of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the day long. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all day long. And the Bible says we're living in the days of Noah in the end time. And even if the Bible didn't say that, I could probably do 50 sermons comparing us to the days of Noah because it's the same thing. But the Bible actually says it. It says we're living in those days, and you could see it out there. You see it in the news. You see it in politics. You see it in governments. You see it in the global government. You see it everywhere you look, that everything is distorted and everything is evil. And just like you look at vaccines with babies, why would you give a 12-hour-old baby a hepatitis B vaccine? There's no reason to it. And babies die from that. They die from that. The amount of aluminum that's in that you're giving that baby. And yet, the world on the other hand will say, no, we're doing it from the heart. We're doing it for the good of the baby. The baby needs that. So every single thing in this world is twisted. Like I said, Satan has deceived the whole world, and we haven't seen nothing yet. We haven't even gotten into, you know, the last, you know, 7 years that are the worst that we may be starting here very soon. But this is why we have to look at ourselves, because like I said, if he's deceived the world, we're living in the world. And to one degree or another, we are being deceived in our hearts. And we have to see where, right? Our human nature is the deepest invention of only evil. And that's what Yahweh said. The deepest invention of only evil. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. This is what Yahweh said to Solomon right before he was just becoming king there. He says, "And you, my son Solomon, know the Elohim of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Yahweh searches out all hearts and he understands every imagination of thoughts. If you shall seek him, he shall be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." Wow. Now, that's in one way a scary scripture, but I think it's an encouraging scripture. It's an encouraging scripture because praise Yahweh that he seeks out our hearts and our motives, right? Because our hearts and motives are not always right. The problem is, if you're not seeking him, you're not going to listen when he tells you where your heart and your motive is wrong. But if you are seeking Yahweh, and this is why I've been saying it for the last several years, you have to pray to Yahweh and ask him, "Father, please show me things I don't know I'm doing wrong." And then you'll get a lot of things back. But very clearly here, right? Praise Yahweh that he searches our hearts and our motives. But if we are seeking him, then what happens? Then we're going to understand and we're going to know where we need to change. But if not, if we refuse it, then what does he say? If we forsake him, he will reject us forever. So it's a scary scripture, but I think an encouraging scripture, because praise Yahweh that he searches our hearts and our motives so that his Ruach can convict us when we're wrong. It can convict us when we're wrong. And this is why if you read the book of Proverbs, all over it, probably 2/3 of Proverbs are about loving correction. We have to love correction. And we're living in a day where, like I said, I know when I first became a believer, people loved correction. There was nothing a leader or an elder or even a brother or sister could tell you that you didn't want to hear. It didn't matter what it was or what you were doing wrong. You wanted to change. Today, it's like, wow. You know, even as the senior elder of the congregation, you talk to people and you share something in a loving, kind way of where they need to change. And they're offended as anything. They're offended as anything because it's pride. Because they're thinking their heart is right, where Yahweh is telling us our heart is not right. We have to seek our heart. We have to look to see where we're wrong and where we need to change. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, right? So we read verse 9, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable or desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now look at the next verse there. He says, "I, Yahweh, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So like I said, that's a good thing. Now, if you're evil, if you're sinister, if you're trying to live a double life, if you're trying to hide things that you're doing, if you don't want to repent, if you don't want to change, you hate the scripture. You'll hate it because you know that Yahweh's going to find you out and you're trying everything in your life to run away from that. But if you love truth and you really want to change, if you want to be in his kingdom, then you love this. Because yes, what's going to happen? "I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins to give each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." Yeah. Does that mean that we're going to go through trials? Does it mean that Yahweh, we're going to sometimes suffer through a trial because we're learning, because we're making mistakes? Of course it does, but that's a good thing. Because what it means is we can change. We could see what we're doing wrong and we could change. We have to allow the Ruach, you know, the Holy Spirit, to convict us and to search ourselves to see if our heart or our motive is pure. Because let me tell you, you don't know it. If Satan has deceived the world and the heart is deceitful, then you can't say, "No, I know my heart, whether it's deceiving me or not." No, we don't. There's only one way to know for sure if your heart is deceiving you, and that's by allowing the Ruach to convict you where you are wrong. And you have to pray that way. You have to pray and take time and allow Yahweh to speak back to you. Look in his word where he's telling you what you need to change and where you have to do differently. So we have to allow the Ruach to convict us and search ourselves to see if our heart or our motive is pure or not. Proverbs 2 in verse 1. Proverbs 2 in verse 1. Proverbs 2 in verse 1. He says, "My son, if you will receive my words and shall protect my commandments with you," right? so that you attend to wisdom, you shall extend your heart to understanding. So now we have to lay our heart out. How do we do that? By receiving his words, by protecting his commandments, by being people of truth, of integrity, of honesty, so that you attend to wisdom, you shall attend your heart to understanding. And this is one thing, is if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not reading your Bible every day, if you're not praying every day, you're never going to have the heart of Yahweh. That is the foundation. And I mean, Yahweh gives us, why do we need to eat physical food every day and drink water, right? We could have been like camels. We could have drank enough water and then maybe not drink for a month or two. But Yahweh didn't make us that way. He made us that. Or batteries, right? You put a battery in a player. You don't change the battery every day. You know, sometimes you don't have to change a battery for a year or 2 years. But as human beings, Yahweh could have easily made us that way. He could have made us that once or twice a year, or maybe once or twice a life. We would need to refill ourselves with water or something else. But it's not like that. We have to eat every single day. We have to drink water every single day to stay alive. And he does this because it's the same way with prayer and Bible study, that we can see spiritually you can't survive without praying and studying. You can't survive. And what happens is every single day you don't pray and every single day you don't study, your heart is being more deceived, especially in the world we live in today. You know, and that's why I say, man, stay away from the internet. Be careful what you're looking at, because everything is a deception out there. Every single thing. The only thing that's not a deception is when you're reading your Bible and you're praying to Yahweh, when he's speaking to you in prayer. And that's what we have to do. So he says, for if you cry for discernment, verse 3 of chapter 2, Proverbs, lifting up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you shall understand the fear of Yahweh and find knowledge of Elohim. For Yahweh gives wisdom out of his mouth, or knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to the ones who walk in integrity, to guard the paths of judgment, and he protects the way of his saints. Then you shall understand righteousness and judgment and honesty in every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. So that's the way your heart is going to change. It ain't going to change by you just convicting yourself and hardening your heart that what you're doing is right. That's only your pride talking more. The way to change is allowing Yahweh's Ruach, Yahweh's Spirit, to convict us through his word and through prayer. That's the only way it's going to happen. And through other people, for that matter. You know, there's times where I've had in my life where a brother or sister will come up to me and say something that they're not even meaning it for correction. But the Holy Spirit will convict me that what they're saying is something that I need for correction. So we have to always be looking at that. Joel 2 and verse 12. Joel 2 and verse 12. Because this is the answer here. This is the answer. The first, like they say, like with anything in life, in order to change and get better, you have to realize the problem. So the first thing is understanding that lust and pride do deceive our hearts from a human nature standpoint. And then the second thing is allowing the Ruach of Yahweh to convict us, to change us, right? To humble ourselves. Joel 2 and verse 12, he says, yet now even turn to me with your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, with wailing, declares Yahweh, right? It's got to be something that is heartfelt. It's got to be something that's true. It can't just be something that, you know, say the word. It's got to be from the deepest part of your being, right? Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with wailing. Yea, tear your heart and not your robes, to turn to Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he pities concerning the evil. Who knows if he will turn and have pity and leave a blessing behind him, a food offering, a drink offering for Yahweh your Elohim. Wow. That is so encouraging, because Joel is all about the end times, the time we're living in. It's all about the day of Yahweh coming. And what's the day coming for? For all those who won't listen to a message like this. For all those that will allow their hearts to deceive them, that are living in lust, living in pride, who won't change. And yet Yahweh says, even at that end time, who knows? Turn to him. Turn to him with all your heart and with weeping and repentance, because he is loving, he is merciful, and he will help us to change. But we have to have, like it said in Proverbs, we have to have the fear of Yahweh. We have to be obedient. Because if not, the pride will harden our heart. The fear of Yahweh will just rip away pride. There's no way you can have the fear of Yahweh and be filled with pride. Can't have it together. But we have to tear our hearts. We have to be clothed with humility to see where we're wrong and repent. We have to have a change of heart toward Yahweh. Psalm 51. Maybe my favorite psalm. It's an awesome psalm. Because this is David's psalm when he sinned. This is David's psalm when he's crying out to Yahweh. And it always shows us, no matter what you ever do in life, as long as you're, like I said, as long as you're willing to tear your heart, as long as you're willing to change, that Yahweh will always forgive us. It's Satan that always wants to put these ideas in your mind. You've gone too far. You can't change. He'll never forgive you. But that's not Yahweh. Yahweh's mercy and Yahweh's forgiveness is beyond our understanding, you know. But Psalm 51, beautiful psalm here. I'll start in verse 2. Go down to verse 10, then verse 17. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you teach me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, right? Hyssop is it's oregano. It's a purifier. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Cause me to hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. We have to allow him to get all those things out of our heart of judging other people, of gossip, of false accusation, of whatever it could be in there, you know, that's there, any kind of sin in our life. And we have to allow his spirit to create a clean heart in us. Verse 17, the sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit. We have to be broken. If we're not broken, you're never going to truly repent. Excuse me. Sacrifice of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. A broken and a humble, a contrite heart. Oh, Elohim, you will not despise. So I love this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a hopeful psalm. And it gives us opportunity of understanding that with Yahweh, there's always a way forward, you know. Humility will lead to true repentance and changing to a new heart toward Yahweh in all that we do. Romans 2 and verse 13. And this is really what the whole New Testament is all about, right? The whole New Testament is about changing our heart or our nature. Like I said, a heart is just a muscle. You know, I mean, there's people that have bad hearts. You have to have heart transplant or whatever. Your heart gives out. But we're talking in an analogy sense of the heart because it's the strongest muscle that we look at it toward, like I said, our analogy of our mind, our deepest desires, what's most important to us. But the New Testament is all about changing that nature. It's all about getting that new nature. It's about leaving behind the corrupted human nature that came from our forefather Adam all the way till today and getting that new nature. So in Romans 2 and verse 13, it says, for not the hearers of the Torah are righteous with Yahweh, but the doers of the Torah shall be justified, right? And that's what we said. People will sit there and they'll know that all these things are wrong. Like I said, they'll know Christmas is wrong. They'll know Easter is wrong, but they'll still do it. They'll still do it because they'll say, well, my heart is right. I'm not doing it toward paganism. I'm doing it toward Jesus or whatever they say. But their heart isn't right, right? So it's not the hearers, it's the doers. And that's why if you're going to change your heart, you're going to have to do something. And you have to be obedient, like we saw. You have to humble yourself. You have to be obedient. You have to put on wisdom. And we have to start following what Yahweh says. And then verse 29, the same chapter, Romans 2, he says, But he is a Jew that is one inwardly. And circumcision is of the heart, in spirit, not literally, of whom the praise is not from men, but from Yahweh. Circumcision of the heart, that's what he wants. He doesn't want our foreskin. He doesn't want it cutting our foreskin. That was a physical sign, as we talked about in the first covenant, for lineage. But the new covenant, he wants circumcision of the heart. He wants us to cut our hearts that are impure, that are, you know, like I said, deceitful and incurable. And he wants to give us a new heart. And that's why, like I said, Psalm 51 is so awesome. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, a new clean heart, the heart of Yeshua, you know, that comes from the shedding of his blood, right? How beautiful. Love is action, the pure heart of Yahweh. Your wants aren't the most important thing in the universe. And that's really where it comes from. Like I said, most of it from either lust or pride, and they are connected pretty good, you know, that people want their way. It's human nature. We don't want to sacrifice. Human nature is you want to do the easiest thing you could do to get the most for yourself. That's human nature. But that's the corrupted heart, the corrupted nature that we're looking to get rid of. And in the end of the day, your wants aren't the most important thing in the universe. It's about, as a believer, our whole life is sacrifice of self, of helping others. It's not what we want. It's not what we're lacking. It's not what's to me. And, you know, it's funny because the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, he said a scripture, he said, as Yeshua said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And yet when you look in the four good news messages, I never found that actual verse that Yeshua said that. But it's one of my favorite verses because it really is true. As a believer, if you really want to be happy, if you really want joy in your life, you get more joy from giving than receiving. You're always thankful when someone gives you something. You're very thankful for it, especially if it's something you need. But you get much more joy when you can fill somebody else's need. That's Yahweh's economy. And this is why circumcision of the heart, of realizing my wants aren't the most important thing in the universe. I have to deny myself. That's what the scripture says. You want to be the disciple of Yeshua, we need to deny ourselves. Not keep putting in our minds and our hearts what we don't have and how everybody's wronging us. That's not the heart of Yahweh. That's the heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If we go to Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. He says, let not your love be deceitful. Hate that which is evil, hold fast that which is good. Let not your love be deceitful. Because, you know, you have times, and there's one time we can always think of. There was a brother we knew many, many years ago in America before we even left, and he used to say, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. I'll die for you, brother. And he was the first brother to put a knife in your back. That was the first brother to do that. And that's the key. Don't let your love be deceitful. You know, don't let it be in word. Let it be in deed, right? So we can all say it, right? Just like it says in 1 John, you know, that we could say, oh, you know this congregation over here in the third world, they have no food. All right, I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you. While you don't do anything to help and you don't give any kind of donation. You know, that's not love. That's, again, that's the heart being deceitful. That's the heart being deceitful. Keeping everything you have, everything you want, keeping all your physical mammon intact. But I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you. I pray for you every day, brother. I hope you're doing better. No? Let not your love be deceitful, right? Hate which is evil. Hold fast that which is good. Romans 13 and verse 8. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no one anything except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the Torah. Wow. For do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not lust. And if there is any other commandment, in this word it is summed up in the words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that comes from Leviticus 19:18. Love does not work evil to the neighbor, then love is the fulfillment of the Torah. So the Apostle Paul is not saying the Torah is done away with. The opposite. What he's saying is, you know, in reality, you really don't need 613 laws all laid out if you would just love your neighbor as yourself. That's the fulfillment of all of it. The fulfillment of all of it. If you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're never going to commit all the... You're not going to lie to him. You're not going to steal to him. You're not going to do all the things. So love, like he says, is really the fulfilling of the law. Love is action. Love is the pure heart of Yahweh. Let's go to 1 John 3 and verse 13. 1 John 3 and verse 13. Because true change of heart will bring action. Change of desires, humility instead of pride, love instead of lust, right? So when this transformation is happening, that the Holy Spirit is changing your human nature, it's changing your heart, then your desires should change. You should be filled with humility instead of pride, love instead of lust. 1 John 3 and verse 13. 1 John 3 and verse 13 says, "So be not surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you," right? Because the world is not have the love of Yahweh. "We know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. The one not loving his brother remains in death. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer. And you know that every murderer does not have everlasting life abiding in him," right? Because it all starts in your mind or your heart. And if there's hatred in your mind, if there's hatred in your heart, then you're considered a murderer. "By this we have known his love toward us, because that one laid down his life for us, and on behalf of the brethren, we ought to lay down our lives. But whoever has worldly possessions and sees his brother in need and shuts up his mercy on him, how is the love of Elohim in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's what a real believer is, right? We're not just doing it in word and tongue, but we're doing it in deed and truth. "And in this we shall know that we are of the truth and shall persuade our hearts before him." Let's continue down to verse now. Verse 19. "And in this we shall know that we are of the truth and shall persuade our hearts before him, that if our heart condemns us, how much more then will Elohim, who is greater than our heart and knows all things, beloved, if our heart does not accuse us, we have confidence with Elohim." Wow. So that's important. You know, is our heart condemning us or is our heart justifying us? Where's our heart? Are we allowing Yahweh to create a new heart in us? A heart that is loving, outgoing, serving, filled with joy. Our heart that's filled with self and all things of ourself. And verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his son Yeshua Messiah and love one another as he commanded to us." Romans 8 and verse 27. Romans 8 and verse 27 says, "But the one searching the hearts," which is Yahweh, "knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he petitions on behalf of the saints according to Yahweh." But the one searching the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he petitions on behalf of the saints according to Yahweh. By truly searching our hearts and allowing the rock to lead us, we will not be deceived and we can powerfully pray. So we have to allow that to happen. 1 John 4 and verse 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7. He says, "Beloved, let us not love one another. Let us love one another. Because love is of Yahweh. And everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim. The one who does not love has not known Elohim, because Yahweh is love. By this was the love of Elohim toward us made known, because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live by him. And this is love, not that we loved Yahweh, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins." And that's the point. None of us in the world could have real love. It doesn't matter if you came from a good background or a bad background. You might have a better concept if you came from a good family and were loved by parents. But we can never really understand the true love until you become a believer. Because that's only Yahweh has 100% pure, undefiled love. And we have to allow that love to change our own hearts. "Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Right? So we have to make sure we're doing that. Drop down to verse 16. "And we have known and have believed the love which Elohim has in us. Yahweh is love, and the one abiding in love abides in Elohim and Elohim in him. By this, love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he is, we are also in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love because fear is about self. If you have fear, then you're fearing for self. You're not fearing out of love. And perfect love, when you have perfect love, that you're loving your neighbors, yourself, and you're loving Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, you're never going to have fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Fear is self, right? And the one fearing has not been perfected in love because he has torment from that fear. We love him because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love Elohim and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one not loving his brother whom he has seen, how is he able to love Yahweh who he has not seen? And we have this commandment from him, that he who loves Elohim ought to also love his brother. Right? Each one of us that have been baptized in the name of Yeshua, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the same Spirit, right? So the one who loves his brother loves himself. Because that's the point of it, you know? That you can't have the love of Yahweh and not love your brother that's there. But like he says, verse 17, love has been perfected in us that we have confidence in the day of judgment. Because there is a day of judgment coming where Yeshua will judge the hearts and souls of men. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 says, therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, that not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than every two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart, right? The word of Yahweh is able to, and the spirit of Yahweh is able to discern our intentions. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open to his eyes, with whom we are to answer. So we can kid ourselves now and we can kid ourselves in this life, but there's a judgment day coming where either we're allowing him to change our heart and we'll be rewarded for having a pure heart, or we don't, and we are going to wind up being punished for that. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, then do not judge anything before the time until the Master comes, who will both shed light on the hidden things of darkness and will reveal the counsels of the heart. He will reveal the counsels of the heart. And then praise will be to each one from Yahweh. And a lot of people, because again, maybe out of fear, whatever, they put this off. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about it. But you know, we, even though Yahweh is filled with mercy, there's only so many days we have in this life. And you never know when will be your last day. And we want our hearts to be pure before him. So on that judgment day, we don't have to be judged for having an impure heart. On judgment day, Yeshua will judge the hidden motives of the heart, good or bad. We must seek the pure path now. Now's the time to seek that pure path. Err on the side of caution. You know, look at ourselves. Be hard on ourselves. Because again, if we judge ourselves, we don't have to be judged. Last scripture is Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see Yahweh. Blessed is the pure in heart. And that's why we have to pray to Yahweh only through his Spirit to give us that clean heart. Only the pure in heart will see Yahweh. That is why we must change our wicked, corrupted heart to the mind and heart of Messiah. We are born into Satan's society with a corrupted nature, a corrupted heart. And all of our motives are corrupted and selfish from birth. It is only through the fear of Yahweh and true repentance and receiving his set-apart spirit that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, can change our deceitful heart that is filled with selfish lust and pride to his pure heart of true outgoing agape love for Yahweh and others. Yeshua is coming back to earth to judge the hearts of human beings and the actions that have come from their hearts, good and evil. We want to judge ourselves so we don't have to be judged. We want to allow Yahweh to search our hearts and motives to make sure they are pure and from him, as only the pure in heart will see Yahweh. We want to love correction and hate pride, be of a humble heart, and learn to have a pure heart that only comes from Yahweh's Spirit and love our neighbor as ourselves. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.